1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Secretary of State Blinken in Tel Aviv today talking about the UN Security Council resolution for a Middle East ceasefire that was passed. Blinken asked if Israel's on board.
Did you get an explicit assurance that he would, if Hamas accepts the proposal that's on the table, that the deal is done, that he reciprocally or he continues his support for it, that that will clinch things?
Yes.
Blinken saying that the ball's now in Hamas's court. Meanwhile, overnight, pro-Palestinian protesters clashed with police at the UCLA campus over 24 arrests. The jury deciding the guilt or innocence of Hunter Biden resuming deliberations this morning. They started considering the three gun charges against the president's son on Monday after prosecutors and Biden's defense attorney delivered closing arguments. The latest escalation across the DMZ. We learned that South Korean soldiers fired warning shots after North Korean soldiers crossed their border on Sunday. They returned to their side once the South fired the shots. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Madison police shared more information about this past weekend's mass shooting at a Monday press conference. 10 people had gunshot wounds, one person was hurt by broken glass, and another hurt themselves running from the scene. The victims were between ages 14 and 23. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
It is truly a miracle that no one is dead.
The shooting happened early Sunday morning during a rooftop party at downtown apartment complex The Lux. Madison police said they could be looking for two shooters, but they did not name any suspects. This was one of three shootings that happened in Madison over the weekend. Wisconsinites can expect a hotter-than-average summer this year. According to CBS 58, Wisconsin has a 30-40% chance of above-average temperatures in June, July, and August. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers minicamp is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are holding practices this week before their summer break. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, has the team ruled out using a one-year franchise tag on quarterback Jordan Love?
Oh, I don't think we'd ever say that. You know, things can change, but that's not what we're focused on. We've got, you know, a lot of time here, and I think the thought process is to get Jordan locked up and move forward that way.
The Packers announcing family night will be Saturday, August 3rd. The team holding a practice in pads inside Lambeau Field, followed by fireworks. Tickets still just $10 per person. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Blue Jays. For game two of their three-game series, the crew winning 3-1 last night. Milwaukee running out of pitchers. Pat Murphy telling reporters 25-year-old lefty Robert Gasser likely done for the season, along with Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff. But that means 22-year-old right-hander Carlos Rodriguez will get his first major league start tonight for the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba joins us from 10:30 to 11 o'clock. We are on the road live from our headquarters in Madison. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies, lower 50s in the overnight with a light south wind developing. Tuesday, we'll see more clouds, highs in the lower 70s. Could have one or two showers in the afternoon. A slightly better chance Tuesday night with lows in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 48.
The Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinier, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
I'm on.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from Mad Men and Whose Line Is It Anyway? Actor Joel Murray. And Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles joins me to discuss Summerfest and Phibbs.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9.
Busy Tuesday morning on the way. Welcome in, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'll tell you what, the team was busy yesterday running hither and yon. I was up at Prairie du Sac. We had the groundbreaking for a brand new U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility. They'll start construction on that this fall and hopefully have it ready to go by 2027. I'm going to try to sneak that story in this morning. Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, she's been tracking the FFA activities that have already begun. The 95th State FFA Convention officially gets started today, but blue and gold were awash in Madison for their day of service, and Aubrey was along. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, giving us the latest updates on our crop progress report and how the market is reacting. Oh, yeah, you don't want to go anywhere else. Weather-wise, you might want to go somewhere else if you're looking for sunshine. Today, it looks like we're going to have cloudy skies. Daytime highs probably around 73 degrees. The winds are going to start to kick up a little bit after about 2 o'clock. Why? Because they're bringing in some possible showers and thunderstorms probably after about 5 p.m. Doesn't look like it's going to be a lot overnight, but then Wednesday night, we have to keep an eye on things. Sunshine during the day on Wednesday, warmer, 85 degrees. And then Wednesday night, we've got a chance of showers and thunderstorms, telling me that the new rainfall amounts the National Weather Service is expecting on Wednesday night between a quarter and a half inch of rain. We'll find out what Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has to say about that in just a little bit. On a Tuesday morning, I want to focus in on a very serious subject that parents that have farm kids or kids that operate farm equipment should slow down and think about. I realize that you're really proud of your kids and you want them to be involved with you in farming activities, be that hobby agriculture or be that true production agriculture. It all involves the same kind of dangerous farm equipment. John Schutzke is a farm safety specialist with University Extension that's dedicated his career to trying to keep people safe around that farm equipment. And now he says, as he takes a look at the size of equipment we're using in agriculture today and the fact that Wisconsin still allows kids as young as 12 and 13 years of age to legally operate that equipment, well, he says, it's time to reevaluate that. He said parents need to slow down and think. It's not just about the physical stature of your kids on that farm equipment. It's really about their mental ability to think about what's happening.
Yeah, and I think what happens, just like my dad, he said, hey, he's 12. John's 12. We can get him on. He can reach the clutch and the brake pedals. We taught him that the throttle is the same as the gas pedal, right? It's, but that assumes, and the case of me growing up disking corn stalks, going back and forth in the field without any sort of incident, without being able to have to go out on the highway or dealing with any type of an emergency, that's different. That's a different type of task. That's not unlike mowing the lawn, except with just a bigger piece of equipment. But yeah, you're right. If something happens, if there's a breakdown, if I remember when I was probably 17 or 18 applying anhydrous ammonia and my valve broke after I'd turned the applicator on out in the field. And by the time I was able to get the tractor stopped, you've got ammonia bubbling up through the soil. That took a lot of quick thinking. And that was difficult for me, even as a 17-year-old. If you're talking about a 12 or 13, or I would say even a 14 or 15-year-old, they're just not ready. They love to take risks. They don't necessarily understand that they are not immortal or that they're not, that they think that they're immortal. They think that they're going to live forever. They don't realize that the consequences of these things when they happen, they are life-altering, if not something that could leave you dead. And so kids just really, until they get to be young adults, and I know we have federal laws that say it's okay at 14 and 15, if they've gone through this certification program. But I say even at that point, you need a lot of supervision. You need almost constant supervision if you're talking about field operations. And the work up at Marshfield really says 14 and 15 is probably okay for smaller tractors. But again, when you start talking about large equipment, combines, forge harvesters, self-propelled sprayers, or any type of big field equipment, probably 16, having a driver's license and having this same training is probably what's needed.
John Schutzke is in studio with us again, as you have probably experienced in the course of your life. If you're in Wisconsin agriculture, he is a farm safety specialist, has focused most of his career on messages like this. Let's also tweak that parent that's out there. I receive spring and fall, and usually random through the summer, multiple text messages and emails about how those idiots around me drive. And don't they understand they can't pass me in a no passing? Don't they understand you can't pass on the right? That kind of thing. Those are the same people, John, that may be giving their youth permission to be on that very same road. You can't control the crazy around you on the road.
Well, you know, here in Dane County, around Madison or Eau Claire or Wausau, wherever you're at in the state, things are getting busier. Communities are growing, and a lot of times that growth is happening right adjacent to farming areas. And you're exactly right. I mean, it's just like when you're talking about a young person having difficulty making good decisions driving a piece of farm equipment. It's the same if you're a regular driver. But again, what I think about is these kids that might be operating this big piece of farm equipment or even a small piece of farm equipment out on the highway. It is farm safety becomes a bigger issue when you start to look at that public interaction. If you cross over into my domain, I'm a university employee, so I'm not a farmer anymore. But when you start to talk about adding to my level of risk, that's when people begin to become really concerned. So I worry about the public risk, the public safety aspect of this. But I also want to go back. I mean, there's so many stories. I've got this sheet here of like over 100 cases of kids between the ages of 11 and 15 around the country. And, you know, we're talking about deaths and serious injuries and roadway crashes and ATV, you know, turnovers. There was one just here recently, 2023, a Barneveld boy, age 13, died in a UTV accident. So the bottom line is when these things happen with all these stories, all 150 of these involve a family. They involve a community. I went to a visitation of a little boy, 18 months old, who died face down. It was a gutter of a little hog feed lot, a little Cargill unit. And he was out there with dad, supposedly helping, right, at age 18. Toddler had about a foot of water at the end of that gutter. He found him face down like a half hour later. And these tragedies just change families forever. They affect people's mental health and the trauma that goes with it. I've been doing this kind of work now for almost 40 years, 35 to 40 years. I don't want to say 40, but pretty close. And I've just seen so many of these, and I've seen how deeply families are impacted. I've seen suicides. I've seen divorces. I've seen early deaths because people just worry themselves to death because of the anxiety, and they're just, you know, they end up dying early because of the guilt and the heartbreak. So, you know, it's always been my passion to try to prevent these things. And I just think here in Wisconsin, we need to really rethink this 12 and 13-year-old thing.
He has dedicated his career as a University Extension farm safety specialist to keeping people safe and healthy on the farm, and that includes our kids. John Schutzke along with me in studio. Now, we've got more conversation up on our podcast playlist right now. If you want to listen in, just go to MidwestFarmReport.com. John is also welcoming you to share your thoughts and ideas on the educational training for kids that are going to operate farm equipment. Is 12 and 13 too young to have them on the road with farm equipment? You can just Google his name, John Schutzke, S-H-U-T-S-K-E, and get connected with him there. Not the end of this conversation with John by any stretch of the imagination. Well, use your imagination and assume that Wisconsin can get a week of dry weather under its belt. No, I don't think it's going to happen either. Weather is on the way.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street, this is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Without a committee hearing, North Carolina Senate Republicans slipped a dark money amendment into an already controversial anti-mask bill. The amendment allows contributors to wash campaign donations through national political groups, making it harder to trace the source. The bill started out as the Unmasking Mobs and Criminals Act, a ban on North Carolinians from wearing non-surgical masks in public aimed at identifying protesters. Just before the bill went to the full Senate for a vote June 6th, Section 5 A and B were added, changing state campaign finance rules to allow national political groups, such as governors' associations or U.S. House or Senate PACs, to make campaign contributions directly to state candidates. North Carolina Newsline reports that the amendment was never heard in committee. Such contributions would allow wealthy donors to donate to a national group and for the national group to give money in its name to North Carolina candidates. The original donor's name would not show up in state campaign finance reports, only in federal reports weeks or months later. The bill passed the state Senate 28-0 after Democrats walked out in protest. The anti-mask bill, which ironically masked donors influencing North Carolina elections, now returns to the House for a concurrence vote. We have a link to the amendment and the groups taking action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Mayer on air.
I've never played this game. Uno is great because kids can play against adults without being overmatched, and adults can play it together and still have fun.
Robert from McFarland flipped a table during an Uno game.
Maybe this is why I don't play these games.
Oh, I would love to play Uno with you.
You want to have an Uno fest?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
We could, like, have an Uno fest for charity or something.
That'd be cool.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, be with us next time. It is Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers, and Jay, Matt, Nair, and I kick off our statewide tour. Don't miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
The Janesville area, and that caused issues for people like Scott Skelly. He's at Skelly's Market just outside of Janesville. In fact, Stephanie Hoff was on her way to the farm market yesterday and ended up finding out that some roads are still closed in the Janesville area because of high waters. That's not deterring folks from heading to Skelly's Market, though. Scott Skelly says the strawberries are ready.
Yeah, down in Janesville, it is the prime time for strawberry season right now, where mid-season berries are just starting, which are always kind of the cream of the crop, the big berries, the delicious tasting ones. We have had a lot of rain in the previous week or so, but things are drying out now. Things are looking good. It's definitely a good time for people to, you know, get out and pick berries. And if you're, you know, kind of heading northern in the state, you know, they're getting really close to hitting that same prime time here very quickly.
Yeah, I'm seeing that on some Facebook pages, websites. Northern Wisconsin also starting to creep up on their strawberry season. That's Scott Skelly. You know, Skelly's Market, they're happy to have you for picking of strawberries, but they did say the water got so high that their playground for at least a little while was underwater. Things are receding, and Scott's got a smile on his face because he said before all the rain showed up, they had a good chance to get started on another summertime favorite, sweet corn.
Yeah, we had a warm spring this year, and sweet corn is definitely ahead of schedule, so we're hoping possibly by around the 4th of July this year for sweet corn. We'll have some greenhouse tomatoes coming in here in the next couple weeks, and then by late July, we'll have muskmelon, we'll have watermelon, cucumbers and zucchini. I saw some zucchini blossoms forming the other day already, so, you know, some of these summer vegetables are, you know, right around the corner.
There you go. Keeping the positive in his voice. That's Scott Skelly. He is one of the staff members, the family members that makes Skelly's Farm Market work. It's really fun to talk with him. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us now. It's really fun to talk with that young man. I've been in this seat long enough now. I remember when Scott was kind of the first one that ever tried or figured out how to use computer graphics to cut corn mazes. He ended up doing corn maze design across the United States. He did that when he was an FFA member. He got a lot of attention at the state FFA convention. So it seems like a full circle story for me and for a lot of our farm audience to be talking with him as a successful agribusiness person in the Janesville area during this state FFA week, you know, kind of a full circle deal. It's you get a lot of that where we come from, folks. Stu and I both, you watch people start as 4-H FFA exhibitors and they move their way through the ranks, college students, and then out into the world as farmers and agribusiness folks. You know, like Scott said, though, they are still battling soggy fields. I just got a text message this morning from one of my growers I was supposed to meet this afternoon. He said, geez, Pam, I sorry to do it to you, but I got to cancel. I'm going to be making hay instead of coming to meet with you for an interview. And I sure understand.
Yeah, and hope they can get the hay made before the rain tries to sneak in.
Yeah, now when is that? I see that it's kind of poking around as soon as what, like 2 o'clock?
In the southern part of the state, yeah. In the northwestern part of the state, it's already kind of misty and a flare in that northwest part of the state. The rain, according to the radar, is still west of Wisconsin, but right up from south central into north central Minnesota, just off the northwest edge of Wisconsin. So it's going to march east today, the frontal boundary extending down from Minnesota into Iowa, northern Missouri. As that front pushes east, rain will move in northwest Wisconsin, the first to see it today, and then it spreads eastward across the strait through midday, through later afternoon or tonight. This isn't a big one. This initial system could mean a tenth of an inch, maybe two in a few areas. Yeah, I know where the water's standing. It's too much. We don't need it. We need it to dry out, but that rain is going to move through today. There's a secondary front to follow. That's the one to show a little more concern. Late Wednesday, Wednesday night, showers and thunderstorms redevelop as the cold front sweeps in. And that's the one with thunderstorms that could have some winds, maybe some hail. That would appear to be a possibility, say, northern northeast, specifically Iowa, southeast Minnesota, into that northwestern part of Wisconsin, where there could be some very strong winds, maybe some hail possibility. We'll watch that. That's not until late Wednesday, Wednesday night. Maybe we'll get a clearer picture tomorrow, but I expect more rain out of that second system as well. And there's some quarter to half inch amounts in western Wisconsin, 3/4 of an inch. And the temperatures are going to warm up between all of this, staying fairly mild today, getting warmer for Wednesday and Thursday. In fact, we're going to talk about 80-degree highs as we look at Wednesday and Thursday, only cooling a little bit for Friday and the weekend. Those temperatures still very warm as we make our way through the rest of this week. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
Around the clock, your dairy cows rely on you. And when you need support, Compeer Financial is here. Here with cutting-edge ag finance technology, industry knowledge, and local experience to help your farm thrive. As avid supporters of the dairy industry, we tip our hats to you during June Dairy Month and every other month of the year. Contact us at 844-426-6733 or visit Compeer.com today. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
To help take care of your ag operation, you're going to need the brand that you call One Tough Animal. Bobcat Plus, they carry new and used Bobcat equipment and also feature a full service department, parts, rental, so there's no need to worry about downtime. Skid steer loaders, mini excavators, utility vehicles, and so much more. There's a Bobcat Plus location just down the road. Eau Claire, Butler, Appleton, and De Pere. Those chores around the farm just got a lot easier. Stop in or visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat, One Tough Animal.
Boy, it sounds like it's a good thing that yesterday's Day of Service projects, all those FFA kids helping the Dane County Park system and outside building beds for little kids that don't have them. Good thing that happened yesterday, not today, huh, Stu?
Yeah, today will still be okay until later in the day, but that heat's going to turn up a little bit more, so it's going to feel more summery. We start out sunny for most of the state, except for the west and northwest where the clouds are building in. That chance of rain a bit later this morning in northwest Wisconsin, then spreads east and southeast through the state. Not until late afternoon in eastern Wisconsin where there'll be a chance of rain. Temps up into the 70s, low and mid-70s today. Southwest winds about 5 to 10. A rain chance yet this evening. Some clouds clearing out later on. Very upper 50s and low 60s. More mild overnight. South winds 5 to 10. mostly sunny Wednesday. Some rain chance building into the west late in the day, up into the low and mid 80s with the southwest winds at 5 to 10. Wednesday night, showers. That's where it could get a bit stormy. The chance of lingering rain Thursday, Pam, then clearing later on. And still low and mid 80s with the west winds gusting to 20 and 30 on Thursday. A little breezy, hopefully to help dry it up a little bit.
Boy, we're going to need it, buddy. This is not a good situation. Today is my day. Prevent plant flag is up for northeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, I believe it. There's been a lot of rough decisions.
Yeah. All right, Stu. Thanks, buddy. Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, joining us on a Tuesday morning. There's your weather details. We've got more details from the state FFA convention. That's going to be coming your way next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning. Weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
June is Brain Awareness Month, and the Alzheimer's Association estimates more than 120,000 people are living with the disease in Wisconsin. In the Green Bay area, there are two dementia-friendly neighborhoods hosting what's called Purple Angel Trainings. Here's Advocate Casey Kapelczynski.
It starts from the basics. What is dementia? What do you need to understand about the disease? What sort of things should you be recognizing? And how do you best adjust your behavior to interact with them in a way that's positive for each individual in that interaction?
And the sooner dementia is recognized, the more support can be given.
And the more informed we all are, the sooner we can start treating it with the medications that we have, interventions, diet changes, whatever it might be that your physician recommends.
You can always learn more at alz.org. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Secretary of State Blinken in Tel Aviv today talking about the U.N. Security Council resolution for a Middle East ceasefire that was passed. Blinken asked if Israel's on board.
Did you get an explicit assurance that he would, if Hamas accepts the proposal that's on the table, that the deal is done, that he reciprocally or he continues his support for it, that that will clinch things?
Yes.
Blinken saying that the ball's now in Hamas's court. Meanwhile, overnight, pro-Palestinian protesters clashed with police at the UCLA campus over two dozen arrests. The jury deciding the guilt or innocence of Hunter Biden resuming deliberations this morning. They started considering the three gun charges against the president's son on Monday after prosecutors and Biden's defense attorney delivered closing arguments. The latest escalation across the DMZ. We learned that South Korean soldiers fired warning shots after North Korean soldiers crossed their border on Sunday. They returned to their side once the South fired the shots. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
Madison police shared more information about this past weekend's mass shooting at a Monday press conference. 10 people had gunshot wounds, one person was hurt by broken glass, and another hurt themselves running from the scene. The victims were between ages 14 and 23. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes.
It is truly a miracle that no one is dead.
The shooting happened early Sunday morning during a rooftop party at downtown apartment complex The Lux. Madison police said they could be looking for two shooters, but they did not name any suspects. This was one of three shootings that happened in Madison over the weekend. Wisconsinites can expect a hotter-than-average summer this year. According to CBS 58, Wisconsin has a 30-40% chance of above-average temperatures in June, July, and August. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers minicamp is underway.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with Sports in Green Bay, where the Packers are holding practices this week before their summer break. GM Brian Gutekunst asked, has the team ruled out using a one-year franchise tag on quarterback Jordan Love?
Oh, I don't think we'd ever say that. You know, things can change, but that's not what we're focused on. We've got, you know, a lot of time here, and I think the thought process is to get Jordan locked up and move forward that way.
The Packers announcing family night will be Saturday, August 3rd. The team holding a practice in pads inside Lambeau Field, followed by fireworks. Tickets still just $10 per person. Baseball tonight, the Brewers and Blue Jays. For game two of their three-game series, the crew winning 3-1 last night. Milwaukee running out of pitchers. Pat Murphy telling reporters 25-year-old lefty Robert Gasser, likely done for the season, along with Wade Miley, Brandon Woodruff. But that means 22-year-old right-hander Carlos Rodriguez will get his first major league start tonight for the Brewers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll have Pete Schwabe from Nightlight.
We'll be talking media and what's coming out in theaters.
Join us first thing in the morning.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clear skies, lower 50s in the overnight with a light south wind developing. Tuesday, we'll see more clouds, highs in the lower 70s. Could have one or two showers in the afternoon. A slightly better chance Tuesday night with lows in the lower 60s. Right now, it's 48.
Over the past 20 years, Wisconsin has seen a huge increase in reported elder abuse cases. Elder abuse is the verbal, physical, emotional, sexual, or financial abuse of a senior citizen. It can also be the intentional or unintentional neglect of an older person. Wisconsin's population of seniors 65 and older is projected to grow significantly in the coming decades. That's why we all share the responsibility to help protect our seniors by recognizing and reporting any signs of elder abuse. If you believe that elder abuse has been inflicted upon yourself or someone you know, please report it. Call the Wisconsin Elder Abuse Hotline toll-free at 1-833-586-0107 or visit reportelderabusewi.org. Respect our elders. Report abuse. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Justice.
This project is supported by the Administration for Community Living, ACL, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, as part of a financial assistance award totaling $120,000 with 100% funding by ACL-HHS. The contents are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official views of nor an endorsement by ACL-HHS or the U.S. government.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Ever take a vacation? Let's talk about hotels and junk fees. Junk fees are these surprise charges that just pop up when you check in. They're called resort fees or curation fees or some other vague junk that wasn't included in the price when you booked your hotel online. Hotel junk fees cost travelers an average of $26 a night, roughly $3 billion a year, according to Consumer Reports. So how do you avoid them? You do your homework. Now, sometimes a website's going to have like a display total price button that you can click. But the surest way is to just pick up the phone and call the hotel before you book. While they're not obligated to tell you anything online, I found that friendly front desk folks usually can give me the straight story. It's worth $26 a night to make that phone call. For more tips on saving more and spending less, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
One, two, three.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Pam Yonke.
Right. Busy, busy, busy around the old farm department these days. Up in just a moment, Aubrey Schlimgen, our summer intern, going to bring us an update from the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention. Yesterday was their day of service, and Aubrey was right along with them. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, what I can tell you is temperatures are going to be changing. Today's daytime highs might be pretty comfortable, probably around 73 degrees. Tonight into tomorrow, weather starts changing. Tomorrow we'll have sunshine, 85 our expected high. Winds are going to start to pick up, and by Wednesday evening, another chance of showers or thunderstorm back in our forecast. We'll have to wait and see on rainfall amounts. Right now, the National Weather Service saying between 1/4 and 1/2 inch is possible. Remember, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, he's checking in live with us this morning. If there's a commodity-related question, something in the markets that you want John to address, you can go ahead and share that with me now via our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. Let me know what's on your mind this morning. I'll share it with John. So today is the 11th day of June. On this day, back in 1999, Milwaukee Brewer Paul Molitor had his number 4 jersey retired. Happened in a pregame ceremony at County Stadium on this day back in 1999. On this day in 1959, a fellow named Christopher Cockrell presented the hovercraft. He was using it as an air cushioned vehicle that crossed the English Channel. And you know what? They actually had those flights on the English Channel until 2000. But it started on this day back in 1959. Happy birthday to former race car driver Jackie Stewart, 85 years young. Actor Hugh Laurie, 65. And little person Peter Dinklage, who is probably best known for Game of Thrones, he is 55 years young today. And now you know, the 95th Wisconsin State FFA Convention officially convenes at the Alliant Energy Center today. But yesterday, there was a sea of blue and gold T-shirts for their annual day of service. Our summer intern, Aubrey Schlimgen, got a chance to catch up with the FFA members in action and the advisor leading them. Former state officer herself, Amelia Hayden, is now an agriculture instructor up at Osseo Fairchild, and she undertook coordinating the day of service on Monday. She said it's all about inspiring those young people to find their purpose, the reason they serve.
Day of service started back when a state FFA officer actually got this idea that we should kick off convention with getting our members in that living to serve mindset and finding ways that we can share all the gifts that we have prior to a week of celebrating those gifts. And so it has evolved since then, this year expanding to over 320 students volunteering across the Madison area at 11 different sites. So we're really excited to be able to give back in that capacity in one of our biggest events yet.
So tell us a little bit about what events are actually happening. There's a Sleep in Heavenly Peace happening in the parking lot out here. Take us through. I know there's a lot this year, but describe what some of those are that these students are going out and doing in the Madison area.
Certainly. So you mentioned the Sleep in Heavenly Peace project, where we build beds for children who may not have access to those. So we've got several groups of students working out in the Alliant Energy Center parking lot today, building those and putting their construction skills to use. And then we've also got different groups out at the Ronald McDonald House, different community centers throughout the Madison area, various parks through the City of Madison parks, as well as Dane County Park System. So really giving back to not only improve our community areas, but also some of those shared spaces and natural resources that we hold dear in the Madison area.
So what is the significance of Day of Service? Obviously, you talked a little bit about this was started by a state officer wanting to give back those gifts to this area, but explain the impact that these certain things have on the greater Madison area and how does that affect, you know, when the students are all said and done? Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned, we have over 320 students volunteering and then another 30 advisors. Times the 3 hours that each student will dedicate, we have over 1,000 hours that are being donated to the Madison area in making this a better place. And I think individually on those students, as they sit in the reflections program put on by the state officers, and they think about really why we're here and what the importance of FFA is, it really, really recenters them on what it means to serve others and what it means to acquire all these leadership skills that they're building. It's really for the purpose of giving back and for making our community and our world a better place through their leadership.
So now you have taken into this role of, you know, helping put on this Day of Service. What's that been looking like this past couple weeks in preparing for Day of Service? What has your role looked like this week?
It has been a lot of fun finding partner sites across the Madison area that are willing to have groups of students come out, and then coordinating all the logistics and details behind the scenes, like getting t-shirts and coordinating buses to get all the students out to their sites, getting water so that students don't get dehydrated while they're out serving the community. So there's a lot of little details and pieces that it's exciting to see those all culminate together in the event this afternoon.
Where do you see Day of Service going? Obviously, we talked about these wonderful events that are happening today. What are your hopes in the future with Day of Service? I mean, it still has to take place. Obviously, we got to get through the day first. But what do you hope to help spark now that today goes on, hopefully for the future of Day of Service?
Yeah, I'm excited to see the number of sites we're at continue to grow. This year is one of our largest events that we've had yet with the number of student volunteers we were able to accommodate. And so I'd like to see that continue to grow, continue to get new partners around the Madison and Dane County area, and really give back to people who need it. I think a common feedback I get from partner sites whenever I have FFA members volunteering somewhere is, we should have had more work for them. Like, they got that done a lot quicker than we thought. And I love to hear that. Love to hear about the work ethic of so many of our FFA members going out into the community, and would just love to expand that reach even more to more sites. And so if there's people out there listening that are like, huh, this Day of Service thing sounds kind of cool, they can definitely reach out to me to get on the list for next year and get students out to their site as well.
Amelia Hayden, she is the agriculture instructor from Osseo Fairchild that helped to coordinate this year's Day of Service for the Wisconsin State FFA. Now, I want you to follow along at Midwest Farm Report, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, because Aubrey will be posting pictures, videos, reels, whatever she can muster together, sharing the story of what's happening at the Alliant Energy Center with the blue and gold all week long. Take a quick break. Back with the markets. John Heinberg also on the way. With the wet weather Wisconsin's had, a lot of farmers concerned about the quality of their crops. Steve Bailey, who is a market manager with Helena Agri in Monroe, says they're ready to help.
So we do have a rig that can spread urea over the top, so we can obviously put any of the dry fertilizer or products out there that we would have in our shed. And this year we did get a set of Y drops for our spray rigs. So if a guy needs some potassium, we can go out there with a Nuke O21 product with a potassium product with some sulfur in it, get some nitrogen out there. So we do have multiple options to get out there and get nutrients. in the field if we do see that deficiency. Third option we have is Helena has a great lineup of foliar nutrition products. As long as we have enough vegetative tissue out there, usually that's a V5 application or later, we can put some nutrition through the leaf tissue as well.
Steve Bailey, market manager in Monroe with Helena Agri. Find more at HelenaAgri.com. I was in the crowd yesterday when they broke ground on a brand new U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility that will be constructed just outside of Prairie du Sac. Dr. Dennis Hancock is the current center director for the U.S. Dairy Forage Research Facility. He said this one has been in the plans for a long time.
The first appropriation actually was back in 2018 for the FY19 budget. And that was when Senator Cole was actually helping to spur this on. And actually, if you go back even further than that, the initial phase in 2011, we got fairly far along, and unfortunately, funds had to go back to headquarters at that point because of budget cuts. Mm. And so we had to scrap the plan at that point. And then we restarted in 2019, whenever we got the new funds to come in. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming. And a lot of folks have worked on this project over the years, and I'm glad to get to represent them.
Dr. Dennis Hancock, he is the current center director for the U.S. Dairy Forage Research Center. Now, this one that they're going to undertake is a whopper, state of the art. It will involve 18 different barns, basically all connected. It is going to be a holistic approach to figuring out exactly what that dairy cow is giving off as far as fumes, microbes, you name it. They are going to have advanced robotic milking systems, chambers for measuring greenhouse gas emissions, an advanced animal nutrition unit, a state-of-the-art laboratory system for agronomy and dairy science, plus a visitor center. They hope to begin construction this fall with completion by 2027. I'll have more details on that for you probably sometime, maybe tomorrow, if we get the opportunity. Farmers didn't get much of a chance to do field work last week, only about 3 days that were suitable, according to the latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service. As of Sunday, 87% of our corn was in the ground, 69% of that crop called good to excellent. 87% of our soybeans have been planted, about 75% of that crop called good to excellent. The alfalfa first cutting dropped off as far as quality was concerned, 61% complete, that's 6 days behind, and only 79% called good to excellent. That's a decline in a week's time. Markets this morning in overnight electronic trade are a little bit mixed. Currently, we've got December corn trading up 2 at 470. November soybeans down a penny at 1157. July wheat currently 2.5 cents higher at 610. The barrel cheese was up a penny and a quarter at 196¾. 40-pound black cheese up 5¼ at 189¾. While AA butter dropped a penny and a quarter to 308 per pound. The July Class 3 milk this morning is up 3, 2064 a hundredweight. The August Class 3 milk that goes into cheese yesterday closed 61 cents higher at 2095 a hundredweight. Goodness, what is going on with that? We're going to talk about it next. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, on deck.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian, do you buy your tickets on Ticketmaster?
Whether I want to or not, I do.
Bella Devan. We're going to talk a little bit about monopolies.
Live Nation and Ticketmaster together control 80% of the primary ticketing market. They have the market power to bully people into submission. And then you trap consumers into basically having to pay like junk fees that are basically created to create profit for the company.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Jane Matinere, who I usually say it's lovely to hear you, Jane, but right now we have to be rivals. We have this great Civic Media Scani Summer Text to Win contest. She beat us by one texter yesterday.
We don't have anything on the line for this. Here's my suggestion. The loser has to buy the other one a steak dinner at the nicest supper club in Amory.
I'm on.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio, we check in with dairy farmer Hans Brighton Moser up in Lincoln County, and Sherita Booker has our most popular social media posts.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
But not just farmers, traders as well, huh, John?
Yeah, we've got some potential heat or heat moving into the Midwest here, building up from the southern plains and southwestern part of the United States. So it's starting to become something we're going to start talking about now. Okay, the crop is in the ground. We got that crop, you know, planting numbers yesterday, 95% complete. I don't think we've ever, you know, that last 5% always kind of seems to hang in limbo. And, you know, we'll work those acres out come September when they do the final numbers. But now we're keeping an eye on what's going to happen with the weather. We're off to a great start, at least in terms of the crop conditions. Again, maybe questions regarding that because of the conditions some of this crop got put into. But, you know, corn 74% good to excellent, significantly higher than last year, got a solid 10% points there. Soybeans at 72% good to excellent. You know, so we're looking at a pretty decent start to this crop. And obviously with wet weather and that we put together, now throw some heat at it, might actually be pretty good here. So now the key is going to be how long, what's the heat duration going to be, does the moisture stay with it? At least initially, what we're watching is the weather going to be fairly friendly for crop growth, you know, above active in terms of precipitation, good heat to it. That's a greenhouse type event, and this crop should respond fairly well. Let's see what happens as we move into July and August, where this heat sounds like it's going to stay around here pretty much most of the summer.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live on a Tuesday morning on the Midwest Farm Report. You can find him, totalfarmmarketing.com, or give him a call, 800-334-9779. John, let's talk more about that heat. One crop in particular is right in the throes of needing weather, and that's wheat. What's going on there?
Well, that wheat market's had its peak, at least at this time frame, in terms of this rally. And, you know, we see these types of rallies that are kind of just when the market really kicks in like that, they have a tendency to leave just as fast as they came in. And we saw that last year in the corn market with a 1 week rally for our window to sell corn. You know, here was that opportunity for wheat producers. We lost over a dollar a bushel now here in the last 10 sessions off that wheat market, as all of a sudden the world concerns regarding supplies are still there, but just maybe we ran this thing too far too fast. Obviously here, the U.S. side of the equation, again, we struggle on the competitiveness in the terms of the global wheat market anyway. And prices just didn't need to be at those levels. Add into the fact now KC wheat or the hard red winter wheat harvest is starting to kick in, and that's something that's also going to put that harvest pressure into the marketplace. So we've seen some pretty big moves in that wheat market. Maybe we're getting to a little bit of a pause point here. We did see Russia drop that wheat crop, or Soviet Econ drop their wheat crop to 80 million metric tons. That's down another 2 million from just a couple of weeks ago. Plus, we had the issue with Turkey raising their import tariffs, so basically cutting off any wheat imports, which majority of their wheat came from Russia. It might be a sign of those two working together to keep supplies in Russia to help out with food costs there. So there's still some things that could come out of that market yet as we get into the summer. But at least right now, that rally seems to be on the back burner here, according to the way the market's acting.
John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Heat is also being felt to a certain extent in the cattle market. What's going on there?
You know, that's one thing that we, you know, it's a little bit of an outlier, obviously, with cattle is how things can grow, how things cattle or you know, the cattle can respond to weather. And if we are looking at a prolonged heat event or hotter than normal summer, already dealing with our tight supplies, you know, we saw a pretty good pop in the cattle market yesterday. Some of that is tied to just the time of the year. It's a bit of a sweet spot for cattle right now. You've got just got past Memorial Day. Now we got Father's Day and then we got the 4th of July peak grilling demand window here. And the supplies are still tight, and the U.S. consumer is still at least hanging in there at this time frame. So we saw the market really try to catch up a little bit to the cash market, I think, yesterday. Now throw in the prospects that maybe we're looking at a hotter summer, a drier summer over the cattle country, and that could come back and limit some of those weight gains, tighten that supply up a little bit more. The market might be pricing that in a little bit early, given the fundamentals, at least in terms of the cattle supply.
Interesting. And, you know, every producer I've talked to, John, wonders if we're about to the end on these cattle prices. I mean, weather notwithstanding, it is just in such crazy lofty territory.
Yeah, I'm going to be very cautious with this market going forward. First off, just concerns regarding the consumer really keep coming at me with inflation still staying where it is. The tightness of the consumer dollars we've seen here with you know, in terms of credit card debt, things of that nature. You know, if they just shut off and start moving to cheaper products of protein in terms of poultry or pork, you know, this beef market could get overvalued. So to me, a rally in this window is an opportunity for producers to lock in some long-term levels of support here and lock some of these prices in.
Very good point. John Heimberg joining us live on a Tuesday morning. TotalFarmMarketing.com. He's in West Bend. Pick up the phone. Give him a call. 800-334-9779. Thank you, John. Tomorrow morning, we will be bringing you more from the state FFA convention. Hope you'll tune in. Have a good day.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
USDA researchers are hard at work finding ways to protect Americans and American agriculture from animal diseases. More today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The National Bio and Agro Defense Facility was located in Manhattan, Kansas, for a reason. As an extension of and an eventual replacement for the USDA's Plum Island Animal Disease Center in New York, the NBAF operation is close to many of the country's animal health companies and researchers. Katie Pulaski is Communications Director.
This area is really great for establishing collaborations with partners on the academic side, from industry, and even other federal agencies who share our interests in protecting the nation's food supply, our agricultural economy, and public health.
Pulaski reiterates, collaboration is key.
I think it's important to note that none of the research that will be done here at MBAF is classified. Our goal is to share the research, to share the vaccine precursors and the work. There's a lot of agreements, there's technology transfer. There's all that that goes into working with industry. But our goal in the end is we are not being successful in our mission if we are not sharing the work that's being done here as widely as we can.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
The jury is out in the Hunter Biden trial as the weaponized Department of Justice seeks retribution against Joe Biden's son. Doesn't make sense. I know. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant. 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you! Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
ABC News.